When you fill out your ballot in the coming days, here's something you should know. The people you elect to the Seattle City Council might just stay there for a long, long time. That's because Seattle City Council incumbents almost never lose. In fact, going back 20 years, only 5 incumbents have lost. And 3 of those came in the wake of Strippergate in 2003, a scandal in which strip club operators illegally funneled campaign money to city council members. We'll get back to that question of why incumbents win so often in a minute. First, let's look at 2 city council races appearing on your ballot. Conventional wisdom says that 2 of this year's incumbents, Nick Licata, Sally Bagshaw, will easily win. Sally Bagshaw was first elected in 2009. She chairs the Parks and Neighborhoods Committee. She says her biggest priority moving forward is keeping downtown and other neighborhoods cleaner, healthier, safer.
That is what I hear in every neighborhood that I go. You know, they want to see more visible police on their feet or on their bikes. But I think we've got such an opportunity right now, building on this Center City initiative, to bring our human services providers, our mental health providers, and our entire justice system to bear on caring for people and also dealing where we've got criminal behavior, addressing it.
Sally Bagshaw's challenger is Sam Bellomio, a former activist with Seattle's Occupy movement. He says the city council is disconnected from average citizens. He wants to require city council members to attend quarterly town hall meetings. He also thinks city council members are paid too much.
I would require that the pay be lowered to what the average citizen wage is in Seattle. If Seattle is doing great, then the pay will increase with the city doing great. And if the citizens are doing poorly, their pay reduces. So that way, the struggle of the average citizen is the struggle of the council. Right now, they're disattached, making $120,000 a year.
Sam Bellomio is challenging Sally Bagshaw for Seattle City Council Position 4. Now let's turn to Position 6, Nick Licata. He's been a council member for 15 years. He currently chairs the committee that oversees housing, human services, and health. In addition to sponsoring Seattle's new sick leave law, Licata points to accomplishments in helping underserved communities.
I have a good track record showing that we need progressive legislation that particularly tackles the issue of making Seattle affordable, and we can only do that if we pass laws such as requiring developers to set aside a certain amount of the housing for those who are making less than $40,000 a year. We need to do rental inspections to make sure that we have people living in safe, healthy places. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that our police force basically is being respectful of our citizens.
Nick Licata's challenger is Edwin Fruit. He's a factory worker in Seattle and a member of the Socialist Workers Party. Edwin Fruit says he's running for city council to provide a voice for working people.
We want to point out what the source of the problem that working people, the vast majority in this country, are facing, which is the capital system. And we have a program for the way forward for us to get out of the crisis we're in and how we can move forward to basically working people taking political power in this country and beginning to run the country in the interests of the vast majority, where we put people before profit.
That was City Council candidate Edwin Fruit, one of several challengers in this year's Seattle City Council elections. Now, getting back to the question we raised earlier, why is it so hard to bounce an incumbent from the Seattle City Council? Knut Berger is here to explain. He's the Mossback at Crosscut.com, and you hear him every Friday on KUOW's Week in Review. When we talked, I asked him that question.
Well, for one thing, a lot of city council people want to stay there. We talk about how the fact that the mayor ship is not a stepping stone to greatness. City council isn't particularly either. In other words, a lot of people go there, and that's their political career.
And it pays well.
It's a decent job, and you do have some people committed to public service or people who feel this is a good career spot and they want to stay. But I think one of the main things is that it's just very difficult to beat incumbents here for sort of a variety of reasons. But one is incumbents, once they're in, they tend to attract money. They're well-financed. Also because we have at large seats, people come to be known citywide. And once you're known citywide, it's very difficult to become known citywide if you're an unknown.
I was reading that Richard Conlon had a good
chunk of money coming from the downtown business interests. Of course, at one time, Richard Conlon was one of those people who talked about things that might have upset the downtown business district. So they also become entrenched. That's who they pal around with,
well,
so to speak.
A lot of the business of actually governing is running the city in ways that are not necessarily reform-minded. I mean, you're catering to some degree to established interests. And that can be everything from, you know, the sewer system to the Chamber of Commerce or whatnot. Emmett Watson had a great line about the city council, which was, he said, you know, there are always these kind of interesting individuals, but once they get on the council, they all stick together like maple bars in a bag. he was just fascinated by this phenomenon of people who come in with this sort of, you know, spunk and big ideas and, you know, a couple terms on the council and you're all voting alike.
You hear Knute Berger every Friday on Week in Review. He writes at Crosscut, Seattle Magazine, author of Pugetopolis. The other thing that we're being asked to consider is funding, financing in elections. There's going to be a Prop 1 would fund city council elections with mostly public money. Have we seen that before? And do you think that would change the way incumbency rules in the council?
Personally, I'm not sure it would change much. I mean, money just tends to, you can see this with other systems, and money just tends to find a different route, independent expenditure committees or, I think it's very difficult. You can control money to some degree by limiting donations, but the nature of politics will adjust to make sure that money has an impact, I think, pretty much no matter what you do.
We'd start getting independent expenditure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're seeing them for the mayor's race. And the idea, I think, is that, you know, the public financing would give non-incumbents and outsider candidates some way of getting more money. But the polling I saw, people do not like the idea of that being on their property tax bill. So maybe also that the funding mechanism would have to be different. But
that's
right.
We'll
see.
They're talking about $7 a year for a $400,000 house. Tell me something, though. There's an assumption here. So let me take the opposite assumption. Is there any evidence that incumbency is bad for the democratic process?
No, not per se, except that you asked if we go through cycles, and there have been some cycles, and the big sort of shift at the city council, you know, in modern times was in the late 60s and early 70s. And the council was old, mid 60s, average age. There were members who'd been on a long time. And there was a complete turnover of the council. It was largely due to a bipartisan group called Choose an Effective City Council. They endorsed candidates. They were mostly Republicans, actually, and they got quite a few of their – and Republicans in those days were, you know, would be considered communists, you know, now. I mean, they were you know, moderate to liberal Republicans, but they were part of a reform effort. But there have been various times in Seattle history where there have been groups that have broken away because they think that the powers that be are fossilized. James Bush wrote an article some years ago about why check wouldn't happen again. I mean, there were some very particular circumstances that made that work. One of the things he was saying is that getting on the council now is such a matter of citywide branding that the people who really have the advantage are people who already have a brand, Gene Godden, Jim Compton, people like that, not necessarily the political experience, and that brand is citywide. And building that brand citywide is really difficult for an unknown.
Wow. Skip, you laid out our future careers, and B, I think that building brand using Twitter. We'll see if that works to get people into the citywide recognition.
Yeah, it just might.
Knute Berger is the Mossback at Crosscut, and you hear him every Friday on KUOW's Week in Review, and on The Record, the Week in Review Extra. I'm Steve Scher. You're listening to The Record.